Good afternoon and welcome everyone to this Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. People who are joining through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can press star nine, and that will raise and lower your virtual hands. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker or the mute button, and that will mute or unmute you. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. And if people are able to use these tools, it will be helpful for us because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. I also want a reminder, remind that please stay on mute unless you're speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise in the meeting. We also have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. So when you speak, before you start making your comments, if you can just state your name before your comments, that will be helpful for them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone who's on the phone call listening or participating in the meeting, knowing who the speakers are. And when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them knowing who the speaker was at the time. We also request speakers to describe themselves briefly when speaking initially. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian. I've got a pink orange scarf on today. And I'm wearing glasses, I have long dark hair. So if you can just describe yourselves briefly, that would be great. Chair Samerford, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud, and then I can take the roll call of the committee members if you concur.
Please do.
Okay, great. So before I start reading the agenda, I will share my screen. And when it's visible, if somebody can confirm, I would appreciate that.
See your screen anew.
Thank you. All right. So just like as I just said, that after I start re finish reading the agenda, we'll go to the roll call of the committee members. After that, we will have the review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We will take reports, starting with commendations report, customer service report, and if there was any outreach. At 4:20, we will go through the awards, including Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:25, Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services, will provide an update about Metro Access Service. At 5 p.m., Mr. Blake will give another update about Metro Access Fleet, specifically for the next generation WAN. And the third topic is also an update by Mr. Blake, and that's about abilities, right? At 5:35, we will begin the public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. And since we are going to the committee's roll call, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Donnie Bush. Tino Calabia. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Steve Kaplan.
Here.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsow.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Actually, Dr. Posner informed that he may not be able to attend today's meeting. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. And just for the record, also, Ms. Rush has informed that she may not be able to join a few meetings. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
I'll know now and muted.
Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonaugh. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. I just want to remind everyone that when we begin the public comment section, each speaker will have 2 minutes. And we are practicing this to ensure that if we have multiple people who want to make comments, they do get an opportunity to do so. If you're able to send me a chat message, please do to let me to inform that you would like to make some comments during public comment section, or when we begin the section, if you can just raise your hands, that will be also helpful because then we can take members of the public in the order we receive their indication of and about their intent to speak. If we have time and any AAC members would like to make comments, we would be happy to take their comments as well during the public comment section. If not, if we run out of time, please do send me an email with your comments. Chair Summerford, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome, welcome. First, we're going to go ahead with the approval of the agenda, which is fully packed. Are there any additions or changes to this agenda? Hearing the crickets, could I get a motion to approve the agenda as is?
So moved.
All those in
I second the motion.
Thank you. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions.
Aye.
The agenda is approved as is. Next is going to be the prior meeting minutes from December's meeting. Any additions, changes, or comments about the minutes? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve December's Metro Access Subcommittee minutes as
I
is?
make the motion. This is Rico.
All right.
Seconded, Sarah.
Thank you. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays,
Aye.
abstentions. The motion carries to approve the December 2024 Metro Access Subcommittee minutes as is. Next will be Miss Anderson and Company for accommodations, customer service, and outreach.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Semaphore. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm with the MAX team. I am an African American female wearing today a gold sweater with a two-stranded twist, middle age. It is my pleasure to introduce Dolan Chittums with our past team to give the report out on the public comments from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums, African American male, long locks, purple shirt. So during the AAC meeting held on December 2nd, 2024, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on December 16th, 2024, there was one outstanding public comment that required further investigation. Comment pertained to the customer's experience with an excessively delayed trip, which was reassigned to Uber. The complaint was investigated and the findings were shared with the customer. Now, moving to accommodations. In December 2024, there were 449 accommodations among the recipients. Central Avenue received 86, Trans-Dev OCC received 172. Industrial Road received 47. Hubbard Road received 104. MTM received 4. Eligibility received 1. And Abilities Ride received a total of 35. This concludes my report.
Thank you so much. And is there any outreach, Ms. Anderson?
I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Blake to report out on that. Mr. Blake.
Good afternoon, everybody. Christian Blake, Vice President, Access Services, African American, glasses, low haircut.
We don't see your face yet in front of that
You don't
monitor.
see me on the screen?
No.
Oh, I see why. Okay, I'll be on the screen in a second. Sorry about
Okay.
that. I'm having some issues here. I'm sorry about that. In terms of outreach, last month was a slow month, but earlier today I had a meeting with the DC Center for Independent Living. Immediately after this meeting will be a meeting with the Washington Ear, another advocacy group. And then later tonight is the, oh, I know I'm gonna mess up their name. I believe it's the Seeing Eye Dogs Association of the region. I have to get there. I'll find the official name later in the meeting. But so we have three meetings today following a holiday. So we're going to be busy with outreach today. And then there's another meeting in Alexandria, Virginia coming up. If I'm not mistaken, it might be tomorrow or it's next Wednesday. No, I'm sorry. It is to, no, it's next Wednesday. So there's a lot of outreach coming up this week and next.
Thank you so much. And now we'll go on to Michael Wilson Metro Access Safety Awards. Is there a recipient this month, Ms. Anderson?
Yes, sir. We definitely do have recipients. First off, we will do the Michael Wilson Recognition Award. I believe Mr. Adam Lasky with TransDev will be making that presentation. Adam?
Hello, good afternoon. My name's Adam Lasky. I am the dispatch manager for Transdev in the Operations Control Center. I am a white male wearing a black sweater today. I'm sitting beside Dispatch Supervisor Artisha Randolph Williams. Artisha, I'll leave your description to you.
I'm a Black African female. I have long dreadlocks with a gold sweater.
Thank you. So Artisha is a dispatch supervisor for us, and we have chosen her to be the recipient of the Michael Wilson Award for a number of reasons. Artisha started with us, joined us from Greyhound. Actually, should say she joined the previous contractor from Greyhound back in 2015. So this makes a decade of experience as a supervisor with Metro Access. Probably no one over the course of that decade has caused more trips which were running late to be on time for our customers than Artisha has. She is our primary trip mover, as well as attends to a lot of other facets of this operation on a daily basis, and she is really our key strategic supervisor from that standpoint. But you know, more than just the role she plays for us, she really cares about the service. Her husband is a rider as well, and actually she now has a daughter working for us, so she's also has personal reasons to be engaged with this service. But she cares about our customers in a way that few others up here, I think, would if they were being honest with themselves, have the same ability to prove and make clear to others on a daily basis. She is always stressed when the service is not running well. She's always trying to find solutions in a way that really stands out for us here. She consistently also under difficult circumstances tends to be the one going around making the days of our employees easier. Anytime it's someone going through a difficult situation, whether it's one of our staff members, whether it's a customer that she has familiarity with what's going on, often at her own expense, will go do what she can to make that person's experience better. It's been exactly, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours since I saw her bringing in some balloons for someone celebrating an occasion today. But Artisha is really the key supervisor in terms of keeping the system running, trying to make us as efficient as possible, and going out of her way to mentor new employees and really consistently is the example of empathy that we need for our customers that all of our other employees we ask to follow. So we are proud to have her as a member of our team. We're proud to see her as the recipient of the Michael Wilson Award. And that's the long and short of it. And Artisha, is there anything you'd like to say today?
Yes, I would like to say thank you, and I greatly appreciate this award.
We thank you for your service to our customers.
Can I add a little something here? I
Go
just
ahead,
want to say
Mr.
it.
Blake.
Every day when I go to the call center, she's the first person I go to and say, "All right, what are you doing to hold the day now?" Because she's very critical for that midday period. And also, by the way, for those of you who get very upset at all those add-ons to your trip, you can blame her for it. No, but she's been very, and her role has been even more important in those previous 6 months when we were going through what I call a little crisis, because as challenging as it was and as frustrating for I know a lot of customers, without her skill set, her commitment, and just every day, first thing is key is just showing up and being there to try to help as much as possible. It could have been even worse if you could imagine that. So I really appreciate her work and all that she's doing on behalf of the customers and the system at large. So thank you and congratulations. Well-deserved recognition.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Artisha. Appreciate it.
He did it. I like Blake.
All right. Congratulations, Artisha. Again, great work. So, I think next up we have Mr. Robbie Worth, who is going to present the AAC Safety Award this afternoon. Robbie? You're on mute, Robbie.
Hi, Allison. Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. And I think we also have Crystal and our recipient, Jaquan Hunter, that's on the camera at a different location as well. So I'll say something about our recipient first, and then we'll switch it over to Crystal and the award winner. Our award winner for the Metro Active Safety Award this month is Jaquan Hunter. She began working as a Metro Access operator with We Drive U on July 1st of this of 2024, and she had previously worked for First Transit and's been with the total system for 2 years. Ms. Hunter retired from the Department of Defense over she had a 16-year career there in mortuary affairs. During her tenure with Metro Access, Ms. Hunter has had no safety violation or preventable accidents. She always arrives on time to work with a welcoming smile, making her coworkers laugh and feel comfortable. She attends every safety meeting and is always excited about learning new techniques to keep her passengers safe. Ms. Hunter enjoys her role as a Metro Access operator because it allows her to help others and make a positive impact. What motivates her is the chance to meet someone each day who might benefit from her kindness, whether it's by offering a smile, engaging in a meaningful conversation, or providing encouragement. Many of her clients have no one else, and as an operator, she believes that she can truly make a difference in their lives. Outside of her professional commitment to Metro Access, Ms. Hunter enjoys relaxing with her family, catching up on TV shows like Law and Order, SVU, and if she's like me, she probably watches all the others as well. and creating lasting memories with her children. We Drive You is genuinely grateful for Ms. Hunter's dedication and hard work throughout her tenure. Her contributions are deeply valued and appreciated. I would now like to turn it over to Crystal Thompson, our safety manager for Central Avenue, who will present Ms. Hunter with the award. And thank you so much, Jaquan, for your service to the disability community in the Washington metropolitan area. Okay, Crystal?
We can't hear you, Crystal. Still can't hear you.
There she is.
No, I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm trying to see if I can prompt her to do something. She's not on mute, but cannot hear her.
Let's see. She's on mute now.
Yeah, but
okay.
She was not.
Oh, wow. Okay, I think Crystal is showing the award. There's a plaque for Miss Hunter that is being presented. So we definitely want to extend our hearty congratulations for a job well done, Miss Hunter. It's operators like you that really make our system what it is. And we strive to be world class, and we can't do it without people like you. So thank you so, so much. Congratulations.
Allison, can you get her back on camera? No?
No, she's on camera. We just can't hear.
Oh, I can't see. All I'm seeing is you.
Yeah, we can see her on camera, but we just can't hear.
Congratulations, definitely to her achievement and accomplishment. We are proud of her.
Yes, thank you from the writers.
Let me know.
All right. Well, I think that that concludes our presentations and recognition for this afternoon. And again, congratulations to all. Back to you, Mr. Semelford.
All right, Mr. Blake, we are up first to hear from you, to hear about updates on the Metro Access service since our conversation at the last meeting, and hearing for customers some of their concerns and satisfactions as it relates to reaching Where's My Ride and late pickups. But I'm going to let you, give us some updates and we take it from there.
Okay, thank you, sir. And again, good afternoon, everyone. As we mentioned, let's just go back to the beginning of this. In July, we moved from multiple providers to one provider. That wasn't the biggest issue there. What we did at the time, though, is the one provider proposed operating out of essentially two locations, and we started with three locations. But what we learned is whether you have one provider or multiple providers, the traffic and just the challenges of navigating this region, you need to have geographic balance. And that was the key piece to this. And at the time, we just didn't have the geographic balance. And as hard as they may have tried, there was no way one provider or many, again, could serve this region and the customers to the levels of service that you all have become accustomed to and rightfully deserve without having that geographic balance. So the first step we took after these six challenging months, although August again was 90%, but the other months were not, was to have the provider open up another base, which they did in Montgomery County. And so that brought us to four locations they're operating service out of. And then, as I mentioned, we would do is we added a second provider also operating out of Montgomery County. So now we're operating five bases, and the results not absolutely where we want them to be. But if you and we don't measure by picking and choosing the days of the week we're going to measure. But if you take the snow days out so far in January, we would actually be at or right on the cusp of 90% that you all had seen us produce for a number of years straight. So, and today I'm looking at it right now, we're still at 95% for today. And this is the first day back, and the federal workers are coming back, the ridership is going up. Am I saying we're back to normal? No, I'm not going to say that just yet, but we're absolutely in a much better position than we were over the past 6 months. So a lot of things we heard, and I would see them long before the customers felt it, because I would just see the numbers. And that's why, when we're talking about Miss Tisha, I would run to her and say, okay, what are you going to do to save the day? What's going to happen here? Again, we're not back to exactly where I want us to be and where we used to be, but looking at the month, this January is sort of typical of past Januaries when you add the snow and the holidays. This year we also added the inauguration, of course, which was a different situation. But again, are we back to normal? I won't say that just yet. Let's see how the rest of the month goes. But we have the geographic balance that we need. We still plan on trying to open up one additional base within the Beltway, inside or very close to DC. We'll see how that plays out. But we have the geographic balance we need. We have a multiple provider. So if one is ever having any challenges, we have another one we can send a little more work to. And therefore, the customer experience again should get back to what it was prior to July of 2024.
So what I will say, because I love that wonderful tool with the Metro Service Excellent Dashboard on the Metro Access, is I looked at it from January 1st to 13th, which includes the snow days. And actually, because that's the latest date it gives information up to as of today, and you're right around, we're at 90% of pickups as I look at it. So we're slowly but surely getting there. And that's even with the snow days, that's not bad. From January 1st to 13th.
Well, and I appreciate that, Mr. Semaford, and I think I'm sure the contractors appreciate you hearing that. And again, if we could erase the last 6 months and go back to last January of 2024, and these were our numbers given the weather and some just normal service, I think we'd be having a whole lot different conversations at the moment. But given the last 6 months of experience, we are highly sensitive. And while this may have been normal in the past, we're not resting on our laurels. And that's why I'm not going to say just yet that we're totally back. But I appreciate that you're following the data as closely as you are. And one way I know that the service is improving, because I'm not getting as many phone calls as I usually get. Now I'm getting back to the abilities ride calls. Hey, I want an Uber. I want this. And I don't mind that. Those are good calls to take. When I was getting those calls about excessively late and those type of things, that hurts me as much as it pains the customer. I know it's hard to believe that, but I th those were painful calls to take. They have come way down, but we still have some more work to do to get things back to normal.
Because I look at the stats on my other computer screen here, and I look and I see, hopefully we're beginning to bring down the number of excessively late trips, which I see is very high. For the first time, the number of customer complaints, which is directly tied to what we're discussing, looks like 7% as of November 2024's data. Things like that, I hope we're going back on the downtrend when we look at next month's data. That's getting better.
That's the goal, of course. Absolutely.
All right, any questions from other so what about now the other side? Where's my ride? The cost
Well,
edit.
there's a piece there. Now, part of Where's My Ride is as you improve OTP, the Where's My Ride sort of naturally improves because there are fewer calls for them to have to handle about late trips. But even with that, I've been pressing them, the contractor, and I see Mr. Grover is on the phone if he wants to provide an update. I still want them to hire more and more staff, even if the OTP is good, and then they can, work it out after that. But I believe more staff is prudent and necessary for the Where's My Ride. If you look at, and you've acknowledged the improvements in the reservations, part of those improvements were management adjustments, but a big part of that was bringing in good people who were committed to coming to work and providing good service to the customers. So we want to replicate that on the Where's My Ride side. So, Grover, do you have any updates on your hiring success recently?
Now, I do want to say percentage wise, again, from January 1st to 14th, as I look at my screen, as I just pulled it up, it is at 94.6% for those days that are available in January. I hope we can keep that wonderful trend going forward.
Well, we hope so too. But again, that really coincides with on-time performance. And when on-time performance is good, you get fewer calls. So now the agents are not back to back and there's long holds and things like that. So yes, we're committed to that. But even if there is a rough day, we want enough agents working so that percentage doesn't go down significantly. And that's where Grover can give us a brief update on their hiring.
Especially during peak periods.
Yes,
Okay, go
well,
ahead.
we have two classes going today, one dispatchers and one of DSA agents. So both of those rooms are packed today. I believe we have 10 candidates in each of those classes. So we are doing exactly that, Mr. Blake. We're continuing to hire up. Also, as we prepare to move the reservations group to the new office location, we should have about 15 vacant seats over there that we can also staff up with DSA agents during the middle of the day when we have our highest demand, into the early evening, and hopefully overstaff in that area as well. So we are continually working that avenue.
Because what I have noticed, because I'm one that, as a customer goes in and trial these things so I can come back and on top of the customers with customers, but I've noticed a decent improvement in the quality of, some of the calls when I specifically call in. It's like, oh, one person is able to handle it, especially with someone who is at access to, Uber Central or whatever, but the agents are able to, it doesn't become an issue where I have to call back and check and get, go through calling three or four times. It's now gotten down to the ideal goal, just to be able to talk that person without having to go to a supervisor, resolve the issue. That is the hopefully ultimate goal, that when a customer comes in, they should be able to have about 90, 95% of their issues resolved with that initial person and not have it escalate or have to call back multiple times.
That is absolutely the goal, and I'm glad to hear that. I haven't received too many text messages from you lately, so that's again a positive trend. But you can always text me when there's an issue. But that is what we're trying to do. You call in, agent hears your call, issue is resolved, and that's what we're trying to get to.
And even with the inauguration weekend, with your staff calling me about a trip, I thought I moved outside that red zone, but it wasn't. When I looked in Uber and they called, I called that day of service yesterday, and I was, I said to the person, oh, I have this trip here. Now that I got the message from the reservation supervisor, I preferably want to speak to the supervisor because it does require manipulating, modifying it. And I know, Where's My Agent may not be able to do that. So I was able to pleasantly be able to reach the supervisor quickly so they can make that adjustment. And I was able to talk to them and say, this is why I see addresses outside this address area where I can modify the address so I can get picked up last night. So it was very pleasant to see I was able to resolve that fairly quickly without going elevating it any higher than talking to a
Very
supervisor.
good. Absolutely.
But questions from the committee members about this? Any
Chair
from committee members?
Semaphore, this is
Yes.
Anne.
Sarah Rod has raised her hand. So, Sarah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was having trouble unmuting there. I just wanted to echo the comments that my personal experiences on Metro Access this month have been far more pleasant than a few before that. There were a couple little things, but they got resolved quickly. And thank you, Christian, for solving one of them for me. So good work. I hope it stays. And I had a question about some of your previous comments about outreach. And maybe I just need to wait until you give us the report next month. But I was curious about, particularly the one that's in Alexandria, since that is my lovely hometown. Are you able to share what the meeting is about or who it's with?
Yes. Give me a few minutes. I assure you, before the end of this meeting, I will update you as to the upcoming meetings tonight and the one in Virginia.
Hold on. Oh
Thanks.
no, now I'm muted. Muted. Currently I'm muted. Hold on. What? And not wait.
Pat, you had a question as it relates to this topic?
Video mute. Currently I'm
I see your
hey,
hand.
Audio
yes.
now I'm you are
Christian,
muted now,
Mr.
Doug.
Blake, I was just going to say the Capital Area Guide Dog Users, which
Hand now
is,
lowered.
I guess, your second meeting tonight, is the one Cindy LeBond's doing. And so that's the group that you're talking to. Yeah, that's the official name. I apologize
Okay.
for that,
Yeah,
but
not a
that's the
problem.
official name for tonight. Yes.
Yeah, yep. They said they're really eager to chat with you.
I bet.
No, they are pleased that you're coming, and that's
Yeah.
good. Okay, thank you, sir. And any other Metro Access service updates? Mr. Blake, or those are the two main ones that we're, still dealing with.
Yeah, those are the main ones right now. We made the adjustments we can right now. And these two adjustments will take us through the end of June. And we're working, even though we're at the end of July, I mean, excuse me, the end of January, we're working on a solicitation package that will take us beyond June in terms of multiple providers and geographic balance of the bases. But we'll give you more updates on that as it gets closer.
One point I do want to bring up with some of your non-dedicated service providers, like KTSNR, if I'm saying it correctly. I've seen, I guess, them assigned to me at like very early hours in the morning. Just make sure your scheduling staff is aware, because it was like I had a trip from Union Station at 5:45 on one of them, and they told me it was a taxi service, and I'm just like very doubtful they're going to pick up at that time, and unfortunately that came to fruition, because when I asked about when that time came, about that particular provider, non-dedicated provider, staff put me on the phone to them directly, and of course it wasn't taking calls, and I had to go through a third agent to say, I want you to sit there, call that provider, because I can't reach no one to get information, because this needs to be moved to Uber, which ultimately was. But that just tells me, and with some of these providers, understanding what times they're able to do the service, because obviously they were, I said, responding to me, and I had to make you see that what I'm going through before moving it to Uber.
No, you're right now. KTS does not operate that early, so
Yeah, I had a
you
trip
and
that
I
was for
need to.
that. I was very doubtful about it, but I said,
Yeah.
I need to let this happen around the window and then
So I'm
see
gonna have
what
to go
happens.
back and look and see if you can just save me a little bit of time. If you can, text me the date this occurred so I could try to figure out how did it get assigned to that provider for a trip at that hour. That will help me figure out where the issue was. But yeah, every provider has its own operating hours. Every provider has its own operating area. Every provider has its own all kinds of different parameters within their specific service. The computer program is designed to reflect that based on the trip booking of the customer through the lottery process. So is the lottery perfect? Maybe not, but was this a human error or was this the lottery error? And we need to just figure that
I
out.
mean, when I looked at it, I was like, when they told me it was a taxi company, because I was like, oh, this is new. They said it's a taxi company, you should hear from them. And I was like, I'm highly doubtful they're going to pick me up at 5:45 pickup.
Now, just for
I
clarification,
know, but it just, you know,
there are
unfortunately.
some companies, Yellow Cab, for example, in Washington, D.C., Old
Oh,
Dominion in
they would,
Virginia.
yes.
Yeah, they are picking up that early in the morning. KTS, though, is not one of those that pick up that early. So we need to just figure out how did your trip get assigned to them if your trip pickup was in the 5 o'clock hour? We have to just figure that out.
And going on the same end on the late hours. Now, I noticed one who rides it, y'all send trips up to the taxi companies. Like Yellow Cab, they have, you know, good sufficient amount up until, you know, around 10 p.m. You know, b before 10 p.m. Now with Old Dominion, it gets kind of iffy with trips around that 9 to 10 p.m. And I guess depends on the region, but that's the time y'all chose and they accept the trip. But I've noticed, at least with that provider, when it gets, I said, are they going to pick up or have to give them move to Uber? You know, I wait during the window, then I call them because I, you know the number to call them. And you know. Or they'll get back to me and it's like, you know, we're still trying to find a driver, maybe another 20, 25 minutes, and it's going to go past my window. So just to keep in mind, in the late evening hours with the Northern Virginia Old Dominion, and I know y'all have your set hours as cut off in the evening, you know, maybe you may want to revisit that.
No, I agree with you on that. And so, like Old Dominion, generally speaking, they don't do or we don't assign work to them after the 8 o'clock hour. So
Really?
we have to, yes, that's
Why do
generally.
I have a lot of trips on Old Dominion between that 9 and 10, and that's when I'm sitting there trying to force
Yeah. Let
convince your
me
staff to
see.
move
I'm going to go back and check the
it
lottery, but
after
generally we
being
don't
done?
do anything with them after 8 p.m. But I'll double check and see that.
You
I'll
said
see if there.
eight. Wow. I have had a lot of trips between that 9 and 10 p.m. hour put on Old Dominion, and that's where I have to, you know, watch it, and then towards, you know, get to the middle. I said, "Do you know, it's like a 50-50 shot."
Oh, I see. Okay. Now you shouldn't have a whole lot, but I do see that they want at least they're up to at least 15 trips in the 9 o'clock hour. But that would for you to get a lot of trips would mean I'm gonna have to check and see how that is happening, or maybe you want to go play the Powerball tonight because you're getting lucky on this lottery. Maybe you'll get lucky on that one. But let me figure out because generally speaking, there is not that many trips going to Old Dominion after the 8 p.m. hour.
Okay,
They're
that's
just
why I
not.
asked that question. For one who uses them a lot, and I've seen some trips in that 9 o'clock hour. I know they don't do anything after 10, of course, but it's been around that 9 o'clock hour, it becomes very iffy. And most of the time, I have to get them move it to Uber. You know, at least half the window goes through, and it's like I call them, and they're like, "We're still looking."
No,
Because
I got you.
usually they're very good about sending the trip out 20 minutes before the window begins, and boom, they could come in, you know, during the daytime up until that mid evening hour. But when I don't see things, because I'm good at guesstimating it, one who rides it a lot, it's like, ugh.
Well, we'll see how they're, but they don't get that many trips. So if you're getting a lot of trips, and lot can be, a term of endearment, but we'll figure out how that is happening because, again, they just don't get a lot of trips from us after 8 o'clock.
All right. Got it. Thank you. Any other committee members on this topic before we move to the next generation vans, which I know Miss Rush can't be here, but she's called me and asked to find an update and some of the previous concerns and addressing those in terms of the, you know, van and things like that, and what is the status?
Mr. Chairman, do we have an update on Uber when
Oh, we're going to talk about abilities, right, as a separate topic on this agenda. So, Rico, when we get to that, then you can ask that question, okay?
I have a question about Uber.
All right. Yeah, but yeah, so when we get to abilities, right, we'll ask that question, but let's get on next generation vans. Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Well, the next generation van is, we haven't scheduled a updated demonstration just yet. We'll probably save that for the first or second week of February. We have made some adjustments based on the feedback you all provided us. We did get a a look at it, and so there's still a little work they need to be that needs to be done. But give us a couple of weeks into February, and we'll schedule another demonstration for members of the committee and some members of the public.
All right. Any questions about that topic for the next generation vans? Because I know the central concern was having another demonstration where the customers are secured in and see how that works in the van and stuff like that. I know that was a concern of Miss Rush's.
Correct. Yes, and we're going to have that set up real soon. Well, again, a couple of weeks into February.
The nude, is there any AAC members there with any questions about this particular topic?
This is Anu, Chair Samford. We do not have any hands up for this topic.
Okay, so now we're going to go to abilities ride, one of my favorite topics. Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Oh, well, we don't have much updates, and we kind of just talked about it a little bit, but I'll take we can start with Rico's question, but yeah, we don't have much updates unless you have something specific you wanted to raise in regard to the program.
I'm assuming right now, we are still, just for the record, because we know it may not be forever, we are still going to have the promotion fair going on for those who want to partake in it. And just, to emphasize, people has, in the previous subcommittee meeting has had their comments about some of its limitations. And I said during the last meeting to emphasize that it is a program of choice. You can opt in or opt out. It is not for everyone because it is curb to curb service, and there's something things that the customer will need be, to be able to do independently, and that you would not get driver support with. To leave it at that.
All of that is correct. It is a curb-to-curb service, although again, some of the providers, particularly the non-dedicated providers, have added door-to-door service to their regular publicly transit available services. So customers are getting door-to-door service through this program in some cases. And yes, the promotional fare is still going to be around for a little while longer. We'll definitely give you a lot of notice before that fare changes. And if it does change, it will probably be a change at the beginning of a fiscal year. Like, so it'll be a July change. So is it going to change this July? No, so that's not going to change this July. Could it change next July? Anything's possible. It certainly could, but we don't know right now. That's too far in advance. So right now the fare is still the promotional fare, yes.
So here's my interesting question. If that ever changes, how does that work for something like Uber, where there we have to have a cash option for the customers? How does that work for Uber where it's cashless?
And that's one of the reasons we're going to hold off on all those discussions. We will find a universal solution once we decide to go in that way. Or, I mean, but to not avoid the conversation, it's you either pay the provider, and like you said, with Uber, it's cashless, so how do you pay the provider? Or more likely, if we do add that fare, you're going to be paying that fare through the Easy Pay. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon, and we'll work that out.
All right. Rico, you had a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, so let's say and this happened today, okay? MetroAxel would drop me at my work job, okay? When they put an Uber, I have to meet them at the fireplace. or the hotel. They don't pick me up at my job. Okay, can someone tell me what's going on with that?
So, without knowing all the specifics, and obviously, we've been talking about your trips in the morning for different reasons, but they weren't related to Uber. And again, not getting into your specifics, I'll be able to tell you more once I look at the exact address. One, if you're located on a enclosed property, I know that's difficult for Uber to get to, or they're restricted in a lot of cases. If that's not the case, then what we have to do is look at the longitude and latitude of your trips, because Uber, for just a little knowledge, doesn't look at what's an address. I know 600 Fifth Street, the old Metro building. It doesn't look at 605th Street and book the trip there. Uber uses the longitude and latitude to determine where you're going on that address that you've given. So we would have to see where is exactly that you want to go. What does Uber think it's, as you say, across the street at the firehouse or somewhere else, and then figure out how to tell Uber for this particular address, you need to update your system to reflect this longitude and this latitude. If that's what the case is, that's not a hard fix. We've done it with other customers and other, well, other customers, other locations. So let's take a look at it. But first, we'll have to figure out, is it a restricted property? If the answer is yes, well, that's a whole different challenge. If the answer is no, then it's just a matter of asking Uber to look at their map, update a particular address with a more accurate longitude and latitude, so that when that address is booked, it's booked to the spot you're talking about, not necessarily across the street.
Because my job address is 2373 Air Fenton Lane. MetroActiv will drop me off there. But when they get Uber with Metro Access, book me Uber, they say, which location do they want to pick you up? At the airport, at the fireplace, or at the hotel? So then what happens if it's freezing zero? So I have to walk all the way to the hotel before Uber meet me there? It's freezing. We'll take a look at the address.
We'll take a look at why it's giving you those choices, and we'll see if we can make it work with Uber. But again, if it's not working with Uber, if a simple address, longitude, latitude change is not the answer, don't want to make it sound like it's a punishment, but Metro Access may be your best door-to-door option, and that's why Metro Access is here. But I will, before we get to that conclusion, I'll take a look at the address, figure out what Uber is seeing when they see that address, and see if there's anything that can be done to adjust it.
So the first, okay, so one common address people get dropped off for a lot of customers that I can suggest a fix for you to send to Uber right now is Union Station at 50 Massachusetts Avenue Northeast, because I'm one that rides and I see a lot of Metro Access vehicles there. So for Uber, what it shows on the map is on for the dot, because I can see it wants to drop off and pick up at on H Street behind the station when I look at the app. And that's so going and I've seen drivers try to go there and I redirect them to, the front entrance of the traffic circle where 50 Mass would end up at, and where most customers want to be picked up. Now I know in the Uber app, and I've told agents when they have to set up Uber for me, please put it to front entrance, third lane, because when you do it as a pickup, it gives you a choice of different places to be picked up. The most ideal for most customers, they don't want to be picked up on First Street, that end, or whatever. The best one would be front entrance, third lane. And that puts you right there in Columbus Circle, right at the traffic circle in front of the station. And it has that in there. So if it can be geocoded to front entrance, third lane, because that choice is in there, versus the back on H Street, that would be very helpful. It will align with geocoding, where most people want to be dropped off for that major location.
No, I agree with you on that. On the Union Station, the thing we're careful about is that this is their service. This is not Metro
Oh
service.
no, but the choice is there for pickup. So
Correct.
it's just
Yes.
I would have to tell an agent specifically, because I'm looking at my app,
Your
pick front
phone.
entrance, third lane,
Yes.
on the app for me to pick up.
Correct.
Generically, it shows H Street in the back behind where the buses are at, and I know that's not where most customers want to get dropped off or picked up, because
Correct. And so yeah, when that is booked like that, it should be
When you type in 50 Mass, it just shows, it puts the dot right at the back of the station on H Street.
right. And so and things like that, that's why it's always important, and I always ask customers, and I know you do it, but this is just for the general public. Always check the address. And if you see an address or an Uber, Metro Access, a taxi, or as I used last month, an airplane. If you're not going to the destination you're planning on going to, don't get in the vehicle. But if you check ahead of time, you could always contact Metro Access and the address can be updated to the specific location you're in need of.
Any questions about this topic or taxi or abilities ride in terms of taxis and dedicated providers and Uber?
Chair Samuelford, this is, I know I do not see any hands up by the AAC members.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay. Anything you want to add about this topic? And as Mr. Blake said last week, we're not changing the model of Uber. Again, it is a option and a choice. And it definitely allows flexibility for those who are able to use Uber. And as I stated before, it's not for everybody. If you feel Metrax is your best, to say it's your safety net, it's your choice. I will exercise using that depending on your situation. All right. Don't hear anyone else wants to speak on that topic from the AAC. I guess Anu, we can start opening up to customer comment period.
Okay, so I just want to remind members of the public, if you do want to make any comments, we are beginning the section. Also to remind members of the public, if you would like to make comments before or after the meeting, you can send us emails at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out MetroAAC. Chair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And Chair Samuelford, Denise wants to make a comment. So Denise, go ahead.
All right.
Okay. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
Hello, everyone. I just want to say congratulations, or kudos rather, to Mr. Blake, because I've been having to call him quite a bit recently because of half of my trips have been scheduled real late. And one of the services I've been having an issue with is KTS. Like, they have not been reliable. She had a driver call me one morning, told me she was 9 minutes away. She was dropping somebody off at dialysis. Never came, never heard back from her again. And so I had to call to try to get a ride. Metro Access, so they could schedule me with someone else. And then that evening, they had me scheduled with KTS again. And I told her, I said, no, I'm not waiting for them because they did not show up this morning after she physically called me and said she was coming. So KTS has not been very reliable. And so I actually asked to not be scheduled with them until they can figure out what they're doing. But overall, the service has gotten better, but still having some late pickup issues. I've even had them send two different services for me. They had me scheduled for one service and a different service, totally different service to show up. So they have to do better with communication. But they called him Mr. Blake because I still have had quite a few late trips. And the only reason why they may not be showing late, because I really be adamant when I call them, like, hey, you have to figure this out. I'm not sitting here an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's ridiculous.
So
Oh, you're done? Because I
yes.
want to, so I want to piggyback on that because I had two trips on KTSB on one day, and again, I had to get the move to Uber because they have the dispatch has to receive any calls or anything. I said during this 30-minute period, as I'm calling at the end, I have not heard from them, both on the same day, and this was a snow day, and they said they should be running fine. But in both cases, I didn't hear one word out of them and had to move it to Uber because I said I'm not interested in you contacting them. The window was over. So, Mr. Blake, I'll let you take that away.
Well, yeah, well, KTS has provided about 200 trips a day for customers. When they're not doing very well, what we do is bring them down to a number that they can manage. In the case of Mr. Mish, doesn't want to ride on a particular service, as we say, don't have to be on that service. And what we try to do and is to not have her trip selected by or assigned to that company by the system. So that's why customers can call us, let me know these things, and we handle them. And that's really the point of it all. It's a choice. If the choice doesn't work for you, we're not going to force that choice onto you. So when any company, and we've been with Abilities Ride now for over 5 years, going on 6 years, so you all know that different companies have had their different challenges. Each of you called going way back. So when the companies are challenged, we dial them back until they can get back to where they need to be to keep the customers happy. When they're doing well and they can continue to do well, we allow the lottery to give them a few more trips. So I've heard a few things and from customers about KTS. So we have dialed their trips back a bit as they try to regroup. They had a good start. They've been in a sort of slump lately. And that's the adjustments we make, and we've been making these adjustments throughout the history of this program.
And that's well understood with a particular cab company when they were not performing, and you did the same thing. So I'm glad to hear that,
I just have a real quick question. Although, so when it happens assigned to the cab companies, are they supposed to be reaching out to us? Because a lot of time that doesn't happen. And then when you try to call, where's my ride? And they transfer you over. Nobody ever picks up on the cab service side. So you're just in limbo, not knowing who or when somebody's coming to get you.
Generally, the taxi company should be like Yellow Cab of DC or Old Dominion of Virginia. Usually, Yellow Cab of DC will text you the night before saying your trips are on Metro Access. Old Dominion and even both of them, when it's around that window time, they generally will be texting you, the vehicle information if all works out. At least I know that of those two companies.
And I'm in
Or,
Maryland, and it's not happening.
okay, I'll let Mr. Blake take over after
Well,
that.
and that is the point. Yes, the companies are supposed to either send out a text or a phone call. Some companies do both because when customers have, let's say, a no-show, it hurts them far more than a call or communication. So, if your trip is assigned to a company and you say you didn't get any communication from them, you let me know that. I will follow up and see what is their answer for not communicating on a particular day with a customer. Because if it happens to you, it probably happens to others, but you just got to let me know on that day that it happened. A simple text message and you have my number. Hey, I'm on KTS. Well, you won't be on KTS, but I'm on XYZ. And yeah, they're here to pick me up, but they never called me, they never text me. Just letting you know. And that's how I get the information I need on a daily basis from customers, and then I can follow up and figure out what's going on.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Anu, anyone else?
Yes, next we have Janice Samuel. Janice, go ahead.
Thank you, Anu. I just wanted to say that over the past couple months, there have been probably more than a handful of instances where I'm on the Abilities Ride program where I haven't received one leg or another of my trip. And it really pains me, but I do call Mr. Blake. And I want you to know, Mr. Blake, I really don't like calling you. I really think about it before I do. But every time I've let him know of the issue, he's resolved it post haste. And I really appreciate that. And just know that I really don't like having to contact you, but I appreciate your response. Thank you.
I don't want it to pain you to have to call me. If it's fair to check with me, and when you don't get one of the two trips, now keep in mind, and it's again right now, we don't have no reason to make the lottery harder to win than it already is. But just keep in mind, not all the time, and this is not just for you, Ms. Saint, this is just in general. Not all the time will all trips booked by a customer on a particular day be assigned to alternative services. But if you feel that you're missing a trip or two, it doesn't hurt to contact me or to Where's My Ride to find out what's going on with your trips the next day or that morning. And then you can request and say, well, my second trip is on Uber and I don't have a link. Can you please send it to me? And either I can do it or someone in Where's My Ride can do it.
Right. And more of them are concerning for me when I don't have the first link, but I understand. And thanks again.
Now, can I step back with you, Mr. Blake, about your wonderful Uber staff? Now, it's gotten better. I see that you have now changed some of the processes on how they send out things. I've seen some of the rollout of the overnight, the night before links. But Anu, I'm going to say that until do you have other customers that need to speak first before I?
Denise raised her hand again, and Sandy Newsel has her hand up.
Let's take Sandy Newsel and then I'll drop in my comments about
Okay.
Uber.
Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sandy Newsel, a senior Caucasian with whitish gray hair, two pairs of glasses on. So I'm concerned whether it's a glitch in the software at Metro Access web booking or a glitch in the software transferring the information over to Abilities Ride, which in this case was an Uber ride. I had booked a ride from my home to 527 Maple Ave East in Vienna, Virginia, and it took me a while to find that address. EAST spelled out didn't work, but just the letter E did. And other choices that were available for 527 Maple Ave were W or West spelled out. So once I locked it into the 527 E Maple Ave, I figured I was good to go. And I hopped in the Abilities Ride Uber, checked with my driver that we're going to 527 Maple Ave East. And I guess he didn't look at it carefully, or maybe his English wasn't the best, or maybe I mumbled. And he took me to 527 West. I could tell I had been to the address once before. I could tell this is the wrong address. And I told him how to go, turn around, go back to Maple Ave. Turn left. He couldn't do that because there was a median in the way. So he turned right. And I said, okay, and make a U-turn. And now we have to go about 8 or 10 blocks and we'll be there. At which point he started getting kind of uppity and was like, I can't take you there. I have another ride on my list that I need to pick up. And so I said, okay, just stop. I'll get out and I'll walk. I chose not to go the route of contacting Metro call center because I figured I could walk to this doctor's appointment in less time than it would take to deal with the call center. But it remains, is there a glitch in the software? If I put in East, how does it get transferred to Uber, and where did it go wrong? And is there any way to double check on that and make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen again? Okay. I mean, it wasn't a huge deal, but it could have been a huge deal. Thank you.
Well, One thing I could say, Sandy, is if you have your own personal Uber app, because I've, that's one way I double check. Like I was sitting there last night, I'm dealing with the trip that was in the red zone around Union Station, is, put that address in your personal Uber app and see where Uber picks up or drops off at. If it's, a potential trip for Uber, so you kind of already. If you're able to in advance kind of get an idea where Uber picks up and drop offs, or if it give choices, like for yesterday's instance with the trip I had to move to be out of the red zone, I picked a location that had three pickup points, and then I had to tell the agent, I said there's three pickup points because they'll see it and just pick one, and then it may not be one you want to get picked up at. And yeah, so
Paul,
it was me.
Paul, I don't think that was the issue because we were 10 blocks away. They clearly had the wrong address.
Oh, the wrong address versus
Yes.
geocoded
Yes.
is what it thinks that
Yes.
address should be.
Right. Somewhere between me booking it to Maple Ave, 527 East Maple Ave, Virginia, it became 527 W
Oh,
Maple Ave.
West Maple. Oh, that might be a technical glitch on
Yeah.
if you book because you booked it online, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
that might be a glitch in Trap East. Okay, I'll let Mr. Blake and or Miss Anderson answer that question.
Well, again, when we send trips to Uber, the address is the word address or the numbered address is not the key that they're utilizing. They're utilizing the longitude and latitude, and that is the booking that they do. The only thing I would say, so I won't be able to guarantee that something will never happen again. I mean, we don't make those type of promises, especially for a service that we're not in control of. What I would say is that you did do the right thing in terms of checking the address with the driver, but I also encourage everybody to remember that, especially for the Uber trips, you could check the address tonight, tomorrow morning, long before the driver ever arrives. And if you see the address is not where you're going, before you engage with a driver and the experience you had, you can contact Metro Access and have the address updated manually by a human agent, or contact me as some do. But again, the folks in Where's My Ride can handle it because it will then be done manually and not through a transfer of data. So check the address, but I would check it even before, if it's an Uber trip, you can check it even before the driver arrives.
Okay, that's a very good point. And I did check and I copied the address booking. And right now I'm going back through my text messages and the pickup address from the Metro Abilities ride is incorrect. It says 527 Maple Ave West. I didn't even take that ride home. I was so frustrated after getting up. But anyway, enough time is spent on this. Thanks.
No, I appreciated it. And again, as you utilize the program, and if you ever get a trip again on Uber, I encourage the customers to check the address as soon as possible. And that way we have team members who can make adjustments if necessary. Now you can't change a trip from I'm going to Hyattsville to now I'm going to Vienna, because if something goes wrong and we absolutely have to keep that trip on Metro Access, then that's where the plan is. But if we're talking about an address of east versus west, that could be a human error, a machine error, it could be a lot of things. You check the address, you let the staff know as soon as possible, and human manual intervention can take place.
Sorry, this is Sarah, and I really apologize for jumping in without raising my hand, but I wanted to remind you of an incident that I had last week that you had to, or 2 weeks ago, that you jumped in and fixed, very similar to Sandy's in a way. I got an Uber going one way to the correct address, and as soon as I got in the car, I got the return text message, and the address was different. I mean, for the very
Yeah.
same ride. And I don't know. I think what Sandy, oh, maybe I'm overinterpreting, but I think what Sandy was trying to ask was, how are those addresses getting input? Is this like a fat fingering thing? Because you may recall that I was going to 1500, I think Fairfax Avenue or something like that in Arlington, and my pickup was at 1500 Arlington Avenue or something similar. It was the same number, but a different street name. So how is that possible? I mean, is this a human error, or
Well,
is
that
there an
situation,
automatic
yeah,
transfer?
your situation was different than what Sandy's referring to, as that was just typed in wrong. That was an error. But now, at the end of reservations, if you're talking to a human agent during the booking process, you could always confirm. In fact, the agent is confirming the address with you at the end of a reservation process. So that person who put that address in just simply was wrong. Now, when they read it back to you, I'm not sure what they read back to you, but they are supposed to be re reading back to you the address of your pickup and your drop off for each trip.
In my case, that didn't happen. They read to me the drop off. I was actually surprised when I got the Uber pickup follow up. I was very happy about it, but I was originally supposed to have gotten a taxi back, and it got changed to Uber, which is great. It's actually more convenient for me. But that second address was never read to me.
Okay, and so if that's the case, then what you always could ask them, say thank you, I appreciate that, but you left off some important information. Can you please confirm my trips again?
This is Sandy again. Here's one more confounding piece of information. I did it as a Metro Access on, web booking. The address came up correct. I have, when I'm ready, I got that information about when I'm ready for my ride. It only gave me, in the text message, it only says where I'm being picked up at my home address.
Right.
It was a round trip. It
Right.
wasn't until the return trip that I see in my text messages that it was going to pick me up for the return trip at 527 West, the
That is
wrong
correct.
address. So
That is
that
correct.
so pardon me for saying, if this had been a one-way trip and I'd only seen it'll pick me up at my home address when I got the text message, that would not have alerted me to the incorrect drop-off address.
Well,
But
here's what happens though. Here's what happens. If you now I hear you, if you get the text message, if you click on the link right now, if you have a trip tomorrow on Uber and you click on the link right now, gives you the full pickup and drop off, but you don't hit ready. You can hit ready to be picked up, but you don't hit dispatch.
And I can't double check on that because it says my ride is complete, so I
Well,
can't
yeah, you
say.
can't do it now. I'm just saying. So if you get a trip tonight or tomorrow or the next time that one is sent to you, you get the text message, you're correct, with the pickup address. That's only showing you the pickup address and the text message. You click on the link will go and be activated, but you're not going to say send an Uber. You're just using that to check both addresses.
Okay, lesson learned. Thank you.
No problem.
Now, what I was going to say, thank you so much. To piggyback on that, Mr. Blake, is I seen y'all started, some predetermined trips as part of the reservation process. The night before, certain select trips are on Uber, and I began to see Uber. I'm presuming it is. Y'all doing the automated process, them pushing out the links the night before, right?
Or
Now.
the morning of, yes, morning
Or
of.
the morning of. Now, what I've seen happen is the ones that are pushing out the night before, and then the next morning, I can see, I guess the Uber agents going in and taking those trips, canceling them and rebooking them, trying to, I guess, make them efficient round trips. And my only caution is, if I'm in the process of doing a round trip, and then you're trying to cancel it at whatever set time you're reviewing these trips, I guess trying to make it more efficient, you just now killed one of the links in which I might need, and then I have to make the extra effort to call back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that process. So
Yeah, so yeah,
you're
so
gonna
I
have to tell
see.
me a
So
little
what
bit
I'm
more.
beginning is like the links the night before, and then I've seen on a couple of occasions the next day. I guess they're also looking at moving possible more trips of mine to Uber. The links I got from the night before are canceled, and then they're rebooking them. But this is I'm already in the process of using
So
those
you're gonna have to
links.
contact me when that happens, because that's not, because sending you a link for another trip has nothing to do with the link of a prior trip, and there is no need to rebook the same trip. So
Yeah, because I'm looking at text here where, okay, I got these links from the night before, and then the next day for the day of service, it's like you are, I see you're canceling, rebooking. I'm like, what is going on here? And I know it's not Uber doing it,
yeah,
it's human
I'm not
beings.
familiar with that. You let me
I'm
know the next
just
time
letting
that
you know what I
happens.
begin to see as a customer from time to time.
You let me know when that happens again, and we can look at it at the time, because I'm not
I
familiar.
know you probably need to know when that happens. Why is this occurring? I already got some link, and then there's cases where when they've moved it the night before, I get some of the links, and sometimes I don't. And I know this is still in the works phase of tweaking.
Well, again, now keep in mind, if you get some of the links and you call in and say, "Oh, that's on Uber, we'll send you a link," that's one thing. The night before, what happens is during the booking process, they're asking you now, if possible, would you like to be considered for an Uber? If you say yes and you weren't selected by the lottery the first time, you may get selected in the second lottery. But that doesn't mean all of your trips that remain will go on Uber. So to say that I didn't get all my links, it doesn't mean that every trip that you have remaining, it was actually selected by the lottery.
No, this is where, okay, let's say the next day of service, out of five trips, three of them are already preset from the night from Uber. I may sometimes only get the links for one or two and not the third one. Yeah,
And
that
if
type of thing.
that has happened, and in those cases, again, if you're not sure, if you
And I can
feel
see that for myself. I know that because I can look through the
through the app,
your
right.
Transit Manager app
And
to
that's
see
where
that.
the human agent can help either resend it or rebook it if it doesn't come through the Uber Central. Because I know a lot of calls to Where's My Ride is, "Hey, I didn't get all my links today." Well, it's because you got three of your five trips in a case like that are going on Uber, not all five of them. Because we do have to, as I mentioned even earlier last year, we can't let folks have this is an extreme example, but I know we have a friend who's a regular user and will book 10 trips in a day. Well, we can't put 10 trips on Uber. Well, we can, but we've got to set some expectations. I'm not saying that's your case, but my point is, not every single trip is going to be selected by the lottery, but you could always check with Where's My Ride and they can confirm it. And if you're missing a link from a trip that was selected, but you didn't receive the link, the human agent can provide you with that link.
Okay, because there's some points during the day they may ship some more another trip or a trips to Uber, and it's like, oh, I see you moved it, but you didn't give me a link. I said, okay, I guess I have to call. And I guess maybe it's like a busy point of the day, and they just they at least I said they moved it. It's just now I just have to make the extra step to give me the link or start the trip. But at least the errors have began to cut down significantly versus asking the customers if you like your trips all on Uber versus now. I think this was a more efficient way for that staff to get it manageably done with a lot less errors. So I do want to note that this whole process of how you're doing it.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, any other customer
Chair
comments?
Hamilford, this is Anu. Denise Dubose has her hand up again, and then Philippa has her hand.
Can I take Philippa and then I'll take you, Denise, again?
Okay.
Hi, Philippa Mazzell, African American female, rooting for Commanders and Chiefs. Anyway, I was going to say that I continue to have that same issue with Uber with the 650 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. And yes, I have learned. I check the address as soon as I get it. I called Metro Access. Where's my ride? The agent always tells me they can't change it and they have to have a supervisor change it, but it typically gets worked out. But there are other addresses that to me are just cut and dried. 1133 18th Street Northwest. Just cut and dried. But when I'm going there, they're trying to drop me off two blocks over, like on 16th Street, and then they tell me it's the back of the building, but it's not because it's 16th and the address is on 18th. Another cut and dried, I would think, address was on Rhode Island Avenue, and they had him turn off too soon. And then he gets frustrated. All he had to do was go back, go down the block, and then make a U-turn. But he was frustrated. And I'm running into the same thing Sandy did, that they start to get frustrated and they just want to put you out, no matter if they're sure you're at the right address or not. So, and we don't have a way to complain, to Uber about that, but I guess we could let you guys know. So I'm just saying I don't know, these issues with the addresses just continue to happen, even though they're very simple addresses. They're cut and dried. On main streets, in main quadrants, everything. And I've talked with people who use, they tell me they, people who are not under Metro Access, they told me they use Lyft because Uber is always getting lost. So I don't know what the difference is in their systems, but that's something we probably need to investigate. I'm not trying to say move everything to Lyft, but I'm just saying, why does Lyft get it right and Uber doesn't?
Well, I think I can say as a private customer of Uber, Uber, from what I understand and talking to friends, it likes to pick up on main streets and roadways to make things more efficient for them, versus in front of the physical address tend to be more with Lyft, from what I've seen of many years of use, personally.
But everything I'm doing is a main street. 18th Street is a main street. Rhode Island Avenue, main street.
But yeah, unfortunately, Uber sometimes does these quirky things. It's like, oh, 2311 M Street, but it wants to do the back of the building, even though it's right there on M Street between 23rd and 24th.
Right, exactly.
Things
Exactly.
like that. That's the quirkiness of Uber. Sometimes it gets it right, but a lot of times it wants to do strange things in terms of where that dot is at.
Right.
But I'll let Mr. Blake add more into that.
Well, yeah, I would say, well, first, we're not moving anything to Lyft because Lyft
Oh,
doesn't
no. We don't have a contract. I
have an
mean,
agreement with us.
no. I wasn't
No,
suggesting that. I just
yeah.
want to know what what they do right.
And I would just say, I'm not here to defend Uber. I know they have a world-class mapping system, certainly better than what we currently have with Metro Access. So is any system perfect? And even if we moved everything to Lyft, would you not be calling us probably with a few address challenges? I'm sure. So the easy answer is you send me the addresses that you're concerned with. I will send them to Uber and let's see how their system works. Over time, things have been resolved this way. For situations where it's just not working for a customer, we always have Metro Access as well as 11 other alternatives that customers can participate in. I will they'll submit to any address that you provide me, and we will see what's going on with their mapping and those particular addresses.
Okay, and that was the other thing I was going to add. The same thing Sandy also said, that sometimes when they try to drop you at the wrong place, you're scared to try to get a ride back because they're probably going to go to the wrong place to pick you up, and you're not there. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Uber and appreciate it. I just don't understand why they can't find these major street addresses sometimes. I mean, other times they're fine, but there are three or four they just continue to have problems with in my case. Thank you.
And that's why with Uber, I love the service of it and everything else because of the convenience and things when it's operationally feasible for Metro Access. It's just sometimes I have to find workarounds, like around work address and things like that, to be picked up like at the house next door, so it picks me up and gets me where I need to go. So we're not we love this option. We just want to tweak it to hopefully make it a little bit better. As with anything else, Mr. Blake.
Amen.
Hi, this is Barbara. I want to address Ombudsperson for People with Disabilities, Short Brown here. I want to say to Philippa and all that you can go in your Uber app and rate your driver, and please do, because they actually will ding their drivers if they get below the 5 stars. So they if they get like 3 or 2, 4 even, they enough of those, they will let that driver go. From that.
So you're
So
saying go into the app that you all send us?
the Uber app,
But
you can see
how
all.
would the Uber app know that Metro Access booked me a trip? I mean, my
It
personal
does.
Uber
It's
app.
in there. It's in
Oh,
there.
okay. All right,
If
thank
you
you.
want me to help you look for it, just let me know. I think you know how to reach me.
Yep.
Another thing is you're dealing with these big office buildings. And they don't stop at the proper place. Go a block away if you can walk there. And there's a little mom and pop shop or a restaurant, use that address. Don't fight with this because I ride the system myself. I'm just trying to go a dull ride, no issues. So I get that too. This place always used to drop me off at the parking garage. And I'm like, well, why would. If I'm in an Uber and I don't have a car, why would I want to go to the parking garage? But anyway, I looked in the Uber app and there's a way for you to move the PIN for that address. And in my case, that's very much dexterity required for that. So I put it in a text format and then I requested that they did it. About half of the drivers are now abiding. Taking me to the real place instead of the parking garage. So there's that option. It may take a while for that. Hope this helps.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's just finding sometimes, if it's a common place to go to, finding that next door house or whatever workaround address where it gets you generally picked up where you need to get picked up. Like my case for work is a workaround till we kind of figure out that and resolve it. So thank you, Barbara, for sharing that.
Okay.
Yeah, part of the problem is that Uber drivers do not always use the Uber app. They use Waze, Verizon, anything that they like. So, like when I'm being picked up at my home, I got to stand anywhere from, 1 foot to 100 feet. They can stop anywhere in that range. It just depends on which app they're using, and that's part of the game about taking Uber and. As you guys said earlier, it's not perfect, but it is a blessing, certainly.
It is a blessing. All right, Anu, did you have anyone else before we go to Denise?
Okay, so Debbie has raised her hand.
All right, Denise, we'll get to you. I just want to get the people who have not spoken, in fairness.
Debbie, go ahead.
Hello, can you all hear me? Hello?
I'm sorry, who's this?
My name is Alfreda.
Okay.
My name is Alfreda McKinley.
Okay, Miss McKinley, go ahead.
Well, I've got my issues with Uber, but I'm listening to you all. And one of the things that I did want to say is when I was listening to the person who was talking about addresses, one of the things that I've noticed lately with Uber is at night, sometimes you may get the links for the next trip, but I'm also noticing that Uber is starting a routine of actually not giving you the link. You go through, you look for it, you don't see it that night before or when you're ready to use it. And then when I call, where's my ride? It materializes after the trip. In addition to that, one of the things that I've noticed about Uber is when you do call, where's my ride? And they send the link to Uber for Uber to contact you. Lately, Uber is putting on the phone calls, spam call, nuisance call, and it makes you not want to answer. I did it the first couple of times. That's how I know it's Uber. But then after that, the rides materialize. What I have started doing is if I'm going to a building or something, or a business, when I make the reservations, I physically tell them the name of the building. That way it cannot be an issue with Uber getting to you. As far as the garages that she was talking about, when Uber, for some reason, and I don't know, Uber will get a ride and it will actually lead them to the garage. The Walmart down in Northeast DC, they always take you to the back of the building and I have to tell them to go around. That's just one example. But based on what I'm seeing, Uber seems to be getting paid for rides that have been booked, but the rides don't materialize on your phone and you have to call, where's my ride? And I'm not certain, but I believe that for every time that you have to call, where's my ride? Because I've had to do it maybe 2 and 3 times in one trip, that they're getting paid because it has to go through Uber. And that's one of my main concerns, is that they're getting rides that they are being, that are getting paid for, but the rider is still waiting for the ride to come and pick them up.
All right, thank
you. My concern is more for Metro Access. I mean, them providing other types of transportation is great, especially for someone like me. And for them to be taken advantage of bothers me a lot, because they don't know if you don't tell them that things are happening. And that's, like I said, my main concern, that Uber does not pay for trips that are not actually being done.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Blake?
We appreciate the concern. We don't pay Uber for trips that are not completed. They're not paid based on scheduled trips. If the customer has a challenge with Uber, as we've been talking about tonight, you let us know. We'll see what we can do within the scope of their regular service, because it's not Metro service and we're not trying to make it Metro service. And if it becomes too much of an issue, I've always stressed, not that we want you to, because the whole purpose of this Abilities Ride program is what the ADA called for when they visualized a world where public transportation was just the bus or a train. But now publicly available transportation has expanded beyond those. So as we're trying to continue the mainstreaming of transportation options for people with disabilities beyond bus and train, if these other services don't work for you, you let us know that, and we will allow Metro Access to be that safety net that the ADA designed it to be. But in terms of Uber getting paid, no. Now, every time you call, where's my ride, that contractor is getting paid, that's for sure. So we want to limit some of those calls. And as you pointed out, Mr. Semelford, if you can resolve it in one call with one agent and quickly, that's the goal. So we don't want Ms. McKinley or anybody else to have to call, where's my ride, 3 times for one trip. So that's an issue we need to figure out. If there is a problem with the link, that's what where's my ride is there for. But it shouldn't take 2 and 3 and 4 calls to resolve one link issue.
I think sometimes, so this is what I get from your staff who don't have direct access to Uber Central, because they have to put it in for an Uber agent to send the trip, because they'll tell the customer, wait 3 to 5 minutes for your link, and then you don't get the link. And then in my case, if I don't get that
You have to call
agent
back.
that has it, that requires multiple calls until I get someone to help me, and that becomes a frustrating point, especially during a peak period
And I'm with you
as
on
a
that. And
tenant.
that's why, again, we're still working on creating a tool where every agent, whether they have direct access to Uber Central or will just send a note to a digital assistant, that this will be resolved with the one call situation. So believe me, we hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, because
Yes, not every
that in
agent.
itself is an issue, and that's when people have to call multiple times back. And it would be nice, like I get the agents that tell me, oh, hold on with me until we confirm you got it. If we can get to that versus telling a person, okay, this is it, 3 to 5 minutes, bye. And it's like, I don't know if I got it or if I didn't get it.
Well, the way it's supposed to work is an agent, even if the agent doesn't have access to Uber Central, is supposed to see your number. Every trip on Metro Access has a unique trip ID number and should be able to say, okay, we're confirming that your trip is being moved to Uber. Thank you for your call today. And you should receive a text message in a few minutes. And they should then transfer that trip ID number to an agent who does have access to Uber Central and be done with it, and it should occur very quickly. As you may know, and you remember in dealing with me, I've probably never kept you on the phone while I was booking a trip on Uber for you. I would tell you I'm going to go ahead and do it, you hang up, or in this case, a lot of cases now, you'll text me and then we go ahead and book the trip. It's not imperative that a customer remains on the phone with an agent while they're booking the trip. But like you said, if you don't get anything in 5 minutes, then you don't know what's going on and you are going to call back.
And
So.
I think part of that also is, again, please, because I repeat my phone number, cell number twice, and it's usually coming down to an issue. Oh yeah, the trip is. I said you didn't get the cell phone number right, and that's where the problem lies, because I have to be able to see this. They're like, oh, it's coming in 9 minutes. This is the, but that vehicle can change. That's the problem. So part of that is also, please, is the ones, make sure you got the right person's cell number. That is very critical.
Well, they are supposed to confirm that as part of any Uber or otherwise booking, because we want everybody to have a cell phone so that we can be sure to be able to communicate with you. But once we get a digital assistant involved, that digital assistant is just taking the number directly from the system, which would reduce the
Yes.
number of human errors.
And hopefully we're getting close to that.
Hopefully.
That's what I've been praying for. That's what I've been advocating for. Debbie, you may go next.
Thank you. I just wanted to share that this is not unique to this Washington area. When my elderly parents were living in the Boston suburbs, we went through the same thing over and over and over again. I had to teach my dad how to look at the Uber app and make sure that the location for both pickup and drop off were accurate, because they happened to live in an apartment building that sat in a big open area next to a college, and it never picked up that this was its own address. And so they kept getting kicked off of Uber because he didn't correct that. And you have to do the same thing on the other end. It is so I'm just saying, I think some of this is about the algorithms that Uber uses and the geolocation that they use, and the amount of vigilance we have to use when we order a trip is extremely high. So whatever you can do, Mr. Blake, to impress upon the fact that a lot of our folks can't do that. I can tell you in the IDD community, being asked to be accurate about the location is is a tough call.
And I do understand that, and we work with them, and we send them addresses. Now, part of this program is about the level of independence of individuals, and if there's a challenge when it comes to a firmly technology-based service like an Uber, that's why we've worked very hard through the procurement process and with our team to add additional publicly available transportation services to the mix that do not rely as much on technology and have a lot more human interaction and local human interaction. Even if, as one of our callers this evening, Mr. Boyce said, don't answer the phone all the time. So we're working on that. But we have other options that are less technology-based and oriented that are providing the same benefit as the Uber option does as well.
Thank you. And I think there are some members of the riding public for whom Uber probably is not a great fit. And to the extent that you have that information when they come through the system, it may be helpful to keep it in mind. I don't know how you do that. And I don't know if there is something illegal or inappropriate about that, but or maybe that's something we can ask some people to opt out of in the registration process.
And that is what we're doing. And so yes, and sometimes do they always get the right answer? Perhaps not, but yes, we offer it. Some customers right off the bat say, no, I don't want any alternatives. I just want the big, beautiful Metro Access vehicle. Other customers try alternatives and say, this isn't necessarily for me. And we make those adjustments in the system as well. We want it to be the customer's choice at the end of the day. We don't want to force any choice upon the customer.
Right. And it hadn't occurred to me before, but it may be that some of our families in the IDD community ought to understand, because many of those people will think Uber is great. But I think what we're talking about today is an enormous risk for some of those families, and they should know that.
We agree, yes. So that's why one of the things we try our very best to do is prevent. Let's say I'm the mother, I'm the guardian, I'm just a stakeholder, a family stakeholder. I give Where's My Ride my cell phone number, so they'll put my daughter, my sister, or whoever on an Uber to send them home. We don't want that. We want the person traveling in an Uber to have their own cell phone, because if this person is nonverbal or have other disability challenges, if something goes wrong in that Uber, we have no way of communicating with that customer. So we've had to, and it's less so with the family, and there's some human services agencies where we've had to be very stern and firm with them on not doing that as well, in terms of a staff member using their cell phone as the contact information for the customer who's traveling. So you're right. Uber is not for everybody, right. And we work our best to educate and inform customers and stakeholders as to all the various options we're allowing customers to explore in our efforts to mainstream customers into the general transportation population and have paratransit be the safety net that the ADA called it to be.
Thanks.
I'm going to take Debbie and then Rico. I mean, Denise, then Rico. Denise. You've been patient.
All right. Thank you. One thing I want to say, I don't know if you know yet, Mr. Blake, but I did call an accommodation for you. I don't know if they said it, pass it on to you, but I really appreciate you, because with all the issues and problems we've been having with Metro Access, you've been very helpful. So I really appreciate that. I know you, I call you quite a bit lately. I haven't had to before, but I really appreciate all that you do. The second thing is, I had an incident, I just remember, with a dispatch person where you call in to schedule your ride. I was calling in to schedule a ride to go from my home to NRH, which I go every week. But he refused to make the ride. He kept saying that the time conflicted with the time I had, but like my time coming back was 1:40 to 2:10. That was already scheduled. So I was just trying to get my trip to go there. And I kept, I said, what you're saying doesn't make sense. I was asking to be there at 10:55. So, and I do this every week and I've never had an issue. I don't know if he was new or just what, but he actually refused to make the trip. And at some point he actually hung up the phone. And so now, because it's getting closer to 4:30, I was hard pressed to call back to get somebody. And the person, the next person I talked to made the trip. So I'm not sure what he was not understanding, but he actually really refused to make the trip. And then he hung up at some point. And I did call customer service, but you know, you never really hear the tail end of what happens. But I told him to ask somebody else, like, no, I can't do it. I was like, he was just very adamant and not planning the trip. And I couldn't understand why. There was no confusion in the time frame. It was not going to clash. I do this every single Saturday. So I'm not sure what happened.
Well, we can go back and listen to the phone calls and investigate the situation and follow up with that reservationist and understand what was the issue.
Thank you. And thank you for your help, Mr. Blake, all the time.
You're welcome.
Great. Rico.
I have a question, Mr. Blake. Mm-hmm. My work schedule is Saturday through Wednesday from 6 a.m. to 2:30. On Saturday, Sunday, they booked me from 5 to 5:30. I said I have to be at work at 6 a.m., mm-hmm. not 6:51, not 7 o'clock, okay? So what is going to take for the reservation when the customer said he has to be at work at 6 a.m., not 6:51, an hour later, okay? So when I have an appointment time, at 6 a.m. and they get me to 6:51, that is a problem because now I got to hear from my manager and my supervisor why you are hour late. Mm-hmm. So can you help me with that, sir, please?
Yeah, so what you're experiencing, and you know, we've gone through a lot of communication and Allison and others on the team have looked into this very much so. So first I have to ask you, in a case, you have to step back for a moment and pretend that Metro Access denied you eligibility. Uh-huh. You can't call Metro Access to get to work on Saturday or Sunday. You have to ride the Metro bus or the Prince George's County bus, either one. On the weekends, as has been discussed in this committee for many years, service is reduced on the weekends in certain parts of the Metro Access service area. Where you are being picked up at, we are picking you up at the earliest possible time that we can. The earliest possible time that we can pick you up doesn't give Metro Access enough time to get you to work at the time you need to be at work. Now, the generosity of myself and others, we have ways we can kind of go around that, and we're gonna, you know, try to make it happen. But the fact of the matter is that it's just unfortunate. You're in an area that at a time that you need to travel, others who live in your community who need to travel at that same time but aren't on paratransit service, they don't have any way of traveling either. So I don't want you to be without a job. I don't want anybody to be without a job because of transportation. That's a challenge. But you know, we'll talk to you about some things you can try. But for Metro Access, if that's your solution, and unfortunately it probably is your solution, the time Metro Access can pick you up on Saturday and Sunday in that area, and the amount of time it takes to get you to your job on a public transportation service doesn't add up. It really just doesn't. You're not the only person in this situation. And we've talked about, Prince George's County, but it happens all over the region. On Saturday and Sundays, people want to go to church on Sundays, but they can't. Some places can't be picked up at all on Sundays and therefore go to church. So it's a challenging situation. I know Allison is going to follow up with you with some ideas we're going to share, and we'll see if it works, if they work for you or not. But I can't sit here and promise you a solution that Metro Access as a public transit service equal to all customers can find a way to ensure that you can get to work by a certain time on the weekends when there's limited public transit in the area you happen to be picked up from. But there'll be follow-up with you. But yeah, this is a it's a factor. There is, I hate to say it that way, there is nothing we can do when it comes to the weekend service and the paratransit, given the limited service that you have on the weekends in that area. But Allison will follow up with
Okay. Thank you.
you.
Is there anyone else, or do you want to give your spiel? Because we're getting close to 6 o'clock.
Okay, Sarah Rod just raised her hand. Sarah, go ahead.
All right, Sarah, you're the last one, and then Anu can give her spiel.
Okay, I just wanted to follow up on that last conversation, and I've heard this before many times, and I realize that in theory, Metro Access is supposed to be a public transit equivalency, and that places some limitations on what we can do. On the other hand, it's really not equivalent, and we can't pretend that it is because typical people who don't have access problems can walk out their door and pick up a bus, with no notice. I could walk down my street and get a bus every half an hour, and I have to book things 24 hours in advance. I have long periods of wait time when I don't know something's going to show up. I have to stay at doctor's offices or wherever I'm going for longer than I want to be there. I can't just walk out and go get the next bus. I have to wait sometimes hours before people will come back and get me because you say that there's like the required time of being someplace. So it's really not equivalent. And I find it very frustrating that you turn this argument around on us. I mean, I'm so grateful for Metro Access, and I am so grateful that the Metro system is accessible for people on the buses and the trains. But please don't tell me that it's equivalent. It's really not. I know you're trying, and in some ways, maybe, there are things that are better, but I find it really frustrating that you would say that to somebody who is really struggling in a case like this, that there's got to be a solution. So that's just my plea. Thanks.
Well, and I hear you, Sarah, but in this case where you use the example, the person without a disability could just walk out and get a bus, or that's the point I'm making here. The person without a disability cannot just go out and get a bus because there is no bus service. So this is equivalency.
But it doesn't go in the reverse. I mean, I can't call you and get a Metro Access van to come to my house in half an hour or an hour or even 4 hours or 8 hours. It's got to be done the
Not on
day
the
ahead of
same
time.
day, but we have opened up as part of an expanding array of services. We have opened up and allowed customers. I had a customer today call me. The doctor gave him, I forgot how she described it, but it was just a quick look and say, "Oh, you're good. See you next 6 months." She called and wanted to be picked up 2 hours earlier than she had booked for. We accommodate those things. And pretty
Sometimes you
soon.
do, and sometimes you don't. I've had it many times where I have not been able to get a ride to come back, and I've had to sit there and wait for hours.
Okay. And again, we're going to be also adding a same day service at some point in this. But again, when it comes to providing service where there is no public transportation available, there is really not much. I mean, we're already above and beyond the ADA service levels as it is, but if there is no public transportation available, there is not much we can do in a case like this other than some other ideas we would share. But again, everything we do for one customer, we have to be prepared to do for all. If we say that fixed route equivalency is out the window, which is Hey, if that's the decision, we obviously can make that happen. But until that is, in fact, the decision, we do have rules that and regulations in which we abide by as far as this service is concerned. But yes, in a case where there is no public transportation available in an area on a particular day, that generally means there's no metro access as well.
All right, and Neil, give your spiel because it is a minute to six and we must adjourn.
Thank you, Chair Samaford. So I just want to remind members of the public that if you would like to send your comments before or after the meetings, you can do it two ways, through email. It's metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement. Thank you.
All right, motion to adjourn. Right, hearing the crickets, we're adjourned.
Thank you all. Great meeting. Happy New Year to you all, and a very spirited meeting. I appreciate that. Take care.
All right. Thank you. You
Bye,
too.
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Have a great one.
Thank you, Denise. You too.